Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship at the Church of Conscious Harmony. It's really great to see each of you here in the room today, and from our sacred space here in this sanctuary to your sacred space at home, wherever you may be, and whenever you might watch this service, we welcome you. Thank you for your presence, and we feel your love sent right back to us. Just a couple announcements today. We'll begin with I appreciate everyone respecting this space reserved on your left side. This is for masks only. And if you notice anyone come in later in the service without a mask on sitting in there, just do one of these for them. Just let them know. This is reserved for our mask only section, just so we can be welcoming to everyone and respect all needs in the room. Also, you'll notice there's a new Mary icon here today. And it won't be here next week, but this was given to me and to the church by our own Sarah Presson. And I encourage you to come up and take a look at it after the service. But it's a beautiful image of an original artwork that she made out of paper collage. And it's quite stunning and unique, I think. So come and check that out after service. And now to our announcements. We continue to invite people to participate, even if you may have never thought about it. To serve and to give to the church by way of the floral committee. And the floral team designates a week or so, every 3 or 4 weeks, for you to prepare flowers for the sanctuary and for the vestibule. So if you are at all interested in that, you can contact the church and find out more details how to participate. Our youth, grades 6 through 12, are meeting again in person. You can contact Don Hale at the church office for more information on that. Also, we've got two retreats coming up, seminary prayer retreats. We've got a retreat on Saturday, June the 12th, which is online only, from 9 to 3. That's Saturday, June the 12th, coming up quickly. Then we have a five-day seminary prayer retreat at Cedar Break in Belton, and that is July 23rd through the 27th. Wonderful opportunity to be in the silence with friends and beloveds at Cedar Break together in person. And then finally, we have an Introduction to Centering Prayer Retreat coming up for those of you who may wish for a refresher in your practice or like to learn the practice itself, what centering prayer method is. That will begin on Saturday, June 12th, and that is online as well, online only, from 10 to noon with 4 consecutive follow-ups on Tuesday evenings. You can go to the church website to refresh anything you may have missed as I was sharing the announcements. But I'm just seeing people I haven't seen in like 14 months. I see you in person. It's just amazing to experience community together in person again. So wanted to also just remind everyone, since we are back in person, do take a bulletin as you enter into the sanctuary. This is a very intentionally created supplement to your worship experience in the sanctuary. And we do our best to create beautiful images for the bulletin. And the content will continue to grow as things come back online more and more. But just to let you know that that's available for those who attend in person. It's wonderful to be together in church today, and I thank you. We're going to be continuing, concluding our series on Mother Mary. And so let's wish that this time together, every moment of this service would speak to our hearts, our minds, and our bodies. What is it that you need today? Make this wish and request known to God in the silence now. May the combined intentions of our hearts feed us with the highest quality influences through this service. And through this service, feed the world with love, kindness, compassion, and wisdom. And so we begin our service in the name of God transcendent, God immanent, and God omnipresent. Amen.
Please join us in invoking and remembering the Holy Spirit with our song, Holy Spirit, Come. Spirit, come. Please stand, for the gospel in one word is love.
Beloved Creator of the heavens and the earth, giver of this and every moment, beloved Mary, care of God, we ask for your grace for each of us today to receive the gift you have prepared for us, to respond to your grace, and to share it. We ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would touch us with your deepening peace and fearlessness and joy. We thank you that we can gather together in community and hold each other's hands and feel the touch of the heartbeat beating as one, in Christ, through Christ, as Christ. We pray these things in your most holy and precious threefold name, our family name, God transcendent, God immanent, and God omnipresent, the Holy Living Trinity. Amen.
Good morning. We remember God, and God is in our hearts. And for our verse this morning, I was sitting Friday night, and there was a big storm. How many of you were there? My dog was very scared. I was a little scared, too. I noticed that the water was coming up the steps toward the front door, and the wind was blowing the trees around, and I remembered the prayer of protection, and I thought that we could say that as our verse this morning. So if you will be my echo, the light of God surrounds us.
The light of God surrounds us. The love of God
enfolds us.
The power of God protects us.
And the presence of God watches over us.
Wherever we are,
God is and all is well.
That prayer is something we must not forget.
Well, you've forgotten me, I know it. Oh, Tammy Sue, you're back.
Well, I told you I have a game show that I want to do on the Church Lady Show, and I never heard from you. You just totally blew me off.
Well, Tammy Sue, we had something else planned today. As you can see, we're going to be talking about how the invisible string connects us to Mary.
Well, it connects us to me, too, and I'm important. In fact, you'd be nowhere without me, Church Lady.
Well, Tammy Sue, I'm afraid you're going to have to leave, and I'll call you.
Oh, right. I bet you will. Huh.
My goodness. Well, as I mentioned to Tammy Sue, the invisible string connects us to Mary. And maybe you were here or watching when I read this book not long ago. And my favorite page in the book says, "How far can the string reach?" And the mother says, anywhere and everywhere. Well, I've thought a lot about that. But do you know there's a sequel? The Invisible Web. And I'm going to save this book for another time, but I want to read the first page. The very best news ever has begun to spread all over the world, one heart at a time. Shout it from the mountaintops. Every single one of us is connected to those we love by invisible strings. Well, one of the people I love is Mother Mary. Like Mimi, who talked a few weeks ago, I was a motherless child by the time I was 9. In fact, I was an orphan. And during the first year of my experience as being a motherless child, I invited Mary to adopt me in a moment of crisis, and she did. And I looked around my house this weekend, and I found 25 different images of Mary, either hanging on my wall or on my mantle. And I realized that I had collected these Marys from all over the world. So let me try to think of where all we got them. The Czech Republic, France, Greece, Italy, Ireland, Spain, Turkey, New Mexico, which is a different country too. This one is one of my favorites. This one is from Istanbul. And I love the crosses hanging from it. This hangs in our hallway at home. But the invisible string connects us to people we love. And they don't have to be living now. They're still present anywhere, everywhere. So I'm hoping that you too have a relationship with Mother Mary, because she will come to you when you ask. And if you are having a troubled experience, maybe you're afraid or maybe you're alone, all you have to do is pray to Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. And she will be there. And I can tell you that it's true, because she has been in my life year after year, trial after trial, trouble after trouble. And you never know when you're going to need a friend. And because we have these invisible strings connecting us, not only are we connected to Mary, but we're connected to everyone who loves Mary. Can you imagine how many people that includes? If you just talk about the people that are alive on the planet now, or the people that have lived here before on this planet and loved Mary, all the people who have pictures of Mary in their home, all the people who have prayed to Mary through the centuries, Mary is with us. And this book, which we will save for another day, The Invisible Web, kind of helps you think about how we're connected in a web of all the people who pray to Mary and love Mary. So you'll hear more about Mary from Pastor Peter today, but I wanted to share with you the invisible string that connects us to Mary. Amen.
Reading from the book of Revelation. A great portent appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pangs, in the agony of giving birth. Then another portent appeared in heaven, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. Then the dragon stood before the woman who was about to bear a child, so that he might devour her child as soon as it was born. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was snatched away and taken to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, so that she can be nourished for 1,260 days. May this reading nourish our journeys deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
The book of Revelation is a reminder that not everything in the scriptures is rational. And for work students, people who have some familiarity with the teachings of the work of Inner Christianity through George Gurdjieff or Uspensky or Maurice Nickel, there is a way of interpreting this passage that I think is very useful. And if you can just notice how the Virgin Mother, the mother who's about to give birth, is the mediator between the sun, S-U-N, the moon, and the earth. It's a very interesting connection with the work idea of the ray of creation, and I leave that to you to ponder that, because there's something quite cosmic about that passage. And yesterday in Scriptorium, one of our participants, she shared her inner understanding of this passage, and I wish we had been recording it. I'm going to invite her to come and share it to us. Hopefully she can repeat it, because the wisdom of that understanding, I'll try and kind of sum it up. It was essentially that this woman represents the higher self, so to speak, the essence of our being, and the red dragon represents our lower self or negative emotions, and the healing that needs to occur so that negative emotions don't run or rule the world or damage the world. But it was a particular poignancy because of the nature of the masculine and the feminine energies that she brought into her understanding. And that's a little plug for Scriptorium. We meet on Saturdays at 11 and we review the passage of Scripture that we're going to be talking about today. But it was a very meaningful sharing, and it reminded me how sometimes the different perspectives of people is so useful to hear how another person hears the scripture, which is, I think, the real gift of our Lectio Divina times. And I miss when we could gather here at 8 a.m. to share what we heard in the scriptures, but we're still doing it online, and it's still quite poignant and meaningful. But Lectio Divina is another way of approaching these very bizarro texts that don't seem to be understandable rationally. There's clearly something of wisdom and truth being communicated, and one needs to be humble about it. But this passage of Scripture is one of the places in the Bible where we see the esoteric dimension of the divine feminine. And it's a very important follow-through to how the book of Genesis begins, the beginning of the Bible. The beginning of the Bible, if you remember, has this peculiar story where God is talking to the serpent after the serpent has tempted Adam and Eve and questioned whether God had actually said this or that. And God says to the serpent, "I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman's offspring, and the offspring is going to crush your head, but you are going to strike its heel. And this symbol of enmity between the serpent and the woman and the children of the woman shows up in the book of Revelation with the red dragon. And there's a lot there to ponder mystically, esoterically, the wisdom tradition of what it's trying to convey about the lower nature, the lower reptilian nature that is on this planet and that is in each of us from time to time. And so the thing about that passage in Genesis is that theologians have made a lot of it, and they have symbolized that Christ's crucifixion was the crushing of the skull of the reptile, even though the reptile struck Christ's heel, so to speak, wounded him, pierced him, but didn't destroy him. And this is an example of how reading the scriptures from an inner level can be very useful for our expansion of understanding deeper or transcending the rational level. Now, I don't want to go too far into the book of Revelation. In fact, I said I would never preach or teach on the book of Revelation until I was at least 80. So we have a little while to go. But I wanted to begin there and connect that beautiful song of Revelation chapter 12, the Cosmic Mary, with a personal experience of that passage. And many of us, I know, have a tenderness in our heart toward St. Benedict's Monastery at Snowmass. Thomas Keating essentially started that monastery. He was part of the founding group that went there and established the monastery. His father gave significant funds to complete the building of the monastery. Thomas Keating went back there after his retirement and became a monk there, and that's where the flourishing of centering prayer and his teaching and contemplative outreach all happened through his time there at St. Benedict. So it's been very meaningful for us to go back, for many of us to take retreats there. But you know, the thing I remember the most about that sanctuary, that beautiful red brick sanctuary, it's so cozy, surrounded by evergreen trees and the mountains in the distance, is the gorgeous image of Mary that is stained glass window in the front of the nave of the church. And it's Mary standing on the moon, crowned with 12 stars, with the glorious sun behind her. Perhaps some of you have seen this image, but it's quite beautiful. But anyway, that's the Cosmic Mary, and it comes from Revelation chapter 12, if you were wondering. And the 12 zodiac, and the 12 disciples, and the 12 tribes of Israel, there's great meaning in these things, and we can't get into all of it, but Christianity is deeply esoteric and connects with the earlier traditions, astrological traditions, that have been on this planet since Sumer in the Sumerian civilization, as far as I know and understand it in terms of reading the literature. So what I'd like to do today is just connect with what we talked about a little bit last week, and then talk about the appearances, the revelations, or the apparitions of Mary that have been happening in the last century or so. If you remember last week, I began with the phrase, "Beauty will save the world." Beauty will save the world is a quote by Fyodor Dostoevsky. But I was also reading about the Navajo Indians. And the Navajo Indians have this tradition of having a singer, someone who's like a soul doctor. And when someone goes through like a midlife crisis or a dark night of the soul or a fragmenting of their self or falling apart or just even a physical sickness, but more than just physical sickness, sometimes the emotional sicknesses that can strike us as humans, like depression or apathy or other difficulties that we experience. The singer, the Navajo medicine person, will gather around this person who's disintegrating psychologically or emotionally, and they sing a song over them and to them. And the song essentially is translated, "We make you beautiful again. We make you beautiful again." And the word beauty for the Navajo people conveys the ideas not just of physical beauty, but of inner harmony, that there would be inner coherence again in you. And this is a beautiful example of the power of what spirituality, what Mary can do for us. Mary makes us beautiful again, sings this song, this Ave Maria, into our hearts. And I don't know if you could hear David's chanting the Om when we begin, come Holy Spirit, come. That's so intentional. That Om grounds the masculine, grounds the vibration of that song so that the rest of the song can soar. But the grounding of the Om is powerful. And you know, it used to be that all the ancient scriptures, all the sacred scriptures of all the traditions, religious traditions, were sung before they were read or spoken. Now we just speak them, in America at least. You can go to Greek Orthodox churches, and some Roman Catholic churches still sing the scriptures. And Russian Orthodox churches sing the scriptures. Muslims sing the scriptures. Some Jewish communities still chant and sing the scriptures. There's something about singing that speaks a higher energy or deeper vibration into our bodies that gets the body involved in addition to the mind when it comes to the scriptures. So I guess that's the thing to say is that if you wish to deepen this understanding or experience of Mother Mary, try singing the Ave Maria. Try singing your prayer, your song, and that might be another way of embodying that connection to Mary and creating that connection with beauty that brings coherence on the inside through vibration, not rationality, not thoughts, vibrations. I think that's the signature of energy, is that it's a vibration that opens our heart, that speaks our heart. If any of you have ever had electrophysiological issues with your heart, you know how important the coherence of electrical patterns are for our existence, for our very heartbeat. And when the electrical wiring or signaling is off in the heart, there can be all sorts of diseases or problems. So we are electrical beings. We are beings who are vibrational. And singing gets underneath the rationality, as does silence. So singing is a beautiful way of beautifying our souls again and connecting with Mary. Apparitions of Mary have been occurring since the beginning of recorded Christianity. And it's kind of a rabbit hole, and I never took it much seriously to heart in all of my life. Especially as a younger Protestant and younger man, I just dismiss the whole concept of Mary. But when I was at seminary, the university chapel, this gorgeous campus, university chapel's extraordinary neo-Gothic cathedral. And seminary is not the place to go if you want to deepen your spiritual life. Seminary is not the place to go if you want to have beauty sung into your soul. Seminary is a disintegrating place. It was for me. And they kind of wear that as a badge of honor because they want to take you apart so they can put you back together again. Whatever. But so I escaped to the university chapel, which as I entered into it was this vault, you know, just this gorgeous vault and just the finest of hewn stones, dark gray stones, and just dim lighting, candle lighting, dim lighting, and, you know, kind of a humid, it wasn't air conditioned, wasn't heated, it just was what it was. And there was a little nook, like a closet with a very high ceiling, as high as this, but it was a closet, it's more like a closet, more like an octagon. And in that nook was an icon of Mother Mary. And it was on top of the little gold box where they kept the Eucharist. So this was, as Protestant university, this was the Roman Catholic's nook. And that's where I would go to have the music of Spirit sung back into my soul. And I'd sit there usually all alone. You know, no one ever, rarely came in there or was in there. There's two places to kneel. And I kind of self-taught devotion to Mary because of my broken state spiritually and the conflict of my intellect at seminary with my heart. Just so difficult to square theology with the spiritual life sometimes. That this is what I believe, these are the people that I've been following, this is truth, come on, Christianity can't act like this. And so in that little room with Mary in the Eucharist and kneeling in that dimly lit room, something in me was touched with beauty, and it began my journey with Mother Mary. There have been other places along the way that have been that soul song to me. Right underneath me is one of them. In fact, for years on Memorial Day and Labor Day, I would be down there in the Theosis Chapel. If you've not been into the Theosis Chapel or haven't been in a while, you're missing out on one of our little secrets. The most precious place, I think, on this campus. And particularly the icon of Mother Mary and Jesus is down there. And the way we've got it lit is so evocative of that university chapel where I was so fed by Spirit. So we have a place. You don't have to go anywhere. We can just go right downstairs to develop that relationship with Mary and to hear the song of beauty being sung back into your soul. There have been three significant appearances of Mary in the 20th century, and a little bit before the 20th century, and right around the time of the Civil War in the 1860s. And I'll just quickly go over these because this isn't a history lesson, and I just want to reference them. So if you are interested in studying these things more, you can do so. And in the May Mark, there's two books on Mary that I referenced in the book look section of the May Mark, which is our newsletter. And if you're interested in learning more about Mary historically, I recommend those two books. But the first appearance is Our Lady of Guadalupe. The second appearance is Our Lady of Lourdes. And the third is Fatima, who is in Fatima of Portugal. And so I'll just very briefly go over these three. Guadalupe, Our Lady of Guadalupe, is probably the most famous of all the appearances or visions of Mary. And they do make a distinction technically between a vision and an appearance, and they have different qualifications for that. Basically, an inner vision is something that we would see in our imagination, but an appearance, an apparition, is something you see who's physically there and that could touch you if it wanted to. So that's just a little bit of the difference. These were actually, they claim to be actual appearances, in some form of energetic embodiment of Mary. And in Guadalupe, it happened on Saturday, December 9th, 1531. So just the word 1531 all of a sudden should trigger you that this is at the beginning of Spain's conquest of Mexico and the horrible abuse that the Roman Catholic Church did to the indigenous people, especially the Aztec population. And the missionary zeal was quite significant to conquer them. And obviously the missionary zeal wasn't always pure of heart. There was great economic gain to be had. So the point about this is that Christianity is coming into this indigenous culture, this beautiful community of Aztec people, and has this whole new system, the whole new God. And amidst this suffering of the people of Mexico, Mother Mary appears to one of the Aztecs named Juan Diego and has several interactions with him. And he's a poor peasant, and he doesn't know anything theologically, but he goes and engages the bishop and recites this long name of what Mary's name is, what she told him Mary's name is. And then the bottom line of the story is that there's a sign that Juan is given by Mary, and in his cloak are these roses, and it leaves an impression of the famous image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. You've probably seen it kind of encircled with roses. It's a beautiful image. And to this day, they've got that sarape at the shrine, which is the most visited shrine, Christian shrine in the world, and the third most sacred holy site visited in the world, next to Jerusalem and Mecca. So this is very, very significant place for many people, and people stream there in sometimes extraordinary endeavors, kneeling or crawling, and this sort of thing. The thing about this shrine that connects it to me and to you and to our church is that Bernadette Roberts went to this shrine when she was 9 years old. And you may not know this, but she was having a mysterious illness, a bone disease illness that caused great pain and an inability to walk most of the time. And her father took her there to experience a healing. And it's in this book, Contemplative, an autobiography of her early years. And I just want to read what happened to Bernadette. Now, Bernadette really didn't want to go. She thought people going to ask Mother Mary for healing was a waste of Mary's time. She just didn't believe in any of this, but she went for her dad's sake. And they were there on a novena, which was 9 days. And this is what she says. This is on page 134. She's 9 years old when this is happening. On the final days, perhaps the last day, I noticed smoke from the candles had formed a hazy cloud near the ceiling of the church. Several thousand candles of every size had been deposited everywhere in the cathedral. People even stuck them on the stone floor. Since they were going night and day, it was not surprising their smoke formed a hazy cloud in the upper regions of the church. I was sitting there, watching this cloud, when it seemed to condense into a scene of Our Lady moving slowly from the upper right side of the church to the left. On her right, someone was taking down notes as Our Lady spoke to him or her. I'll just say that again. On her right, in this vision that she has, someone was taking down notes as Our Lady spoke to this person taking notes. Behind them was a retinue of people or angels. I could not see distinctly because the cloud seemed to trail beyond the walls of the shrine. Both Our Lady and her secretary were looking down on everyone in the cathedral. If the secretary pointed to someone, Our Lady would say something, which was then noted in the book. Sometimes she would point to someone and say something to be written down. The whole scene was very businesslike. Obviously, Our Lady was granting requests and seeing to individual needs. I observed all of this with much the same detachment I had looked out the window at the doctor's office, watching people in the street below, months before. Nothing about the scene surprised me. I took for granted Our Lady was taking care of business. After 10 minutes or more of watching this, suddenly the secretary directly pointed at me, as if asking Mary, "What about that one?" This unexpected gesture was a jolt that roused me from a detached spectator to an embarrassed focal point. It was disconcerting. I felt caught off guard. Mary glanced in my direction and then gestured to her secretary with a casual wave of hand, as if to say, "Oh, she's already been taken care of." And then Mary continued on her way. Mary's gesture might have been taken as a dismissal of sorts, I understood it perfectly. It meant my prayer, my deepest wish, had already been granted. I would see God. Now I only needed to know when, how soon. But Mary had gone on her way. I watched for some time until her figure grew distant and eventually dissolved into the candle smoke. When I realized I was once more looking at a cloud of smoke, I questioned myself. Did I really see Mary, or could I have just imagined it? And so Our Lady of Guadalupe did heal Bernadette, and the story continues there, but she was healed. And that's a connection point to Bernadette. Now, it's hard to really understand that at a rational level, I know. And you can see the difference between a vision and an apparition. But nevertheless, Bernadette was a seer. She was a mystic, although she didn't like being called a mystic. She preferred more of a mystical theologian, a mystical theology. She viewed herself as a contemplative. In fact, that's the name of the book, Contemplative. She didn't want people thinking of her as a mystic, but that's a mystical experience. So whatever you make of it, it's on a different level of vibration than the normal, rational, day-to-day life. And if you started having a lot of these visions and started telling other people about it, they might question you. So the secret is, don't tell anyone about it. But Bernadette was healed. And Bernadette knew when she was going to die. She knew how she was going to die. And she had a lifelong connection and love for Mother Mary. So there's something about Mary, and there's something about this Our Lady of Guadalupe. Perhaps some of you have been there in Mexico City. The second big apparition or visitation on this planet is known as the Our Lady of Lourdes, France. And this was significant because this did happen during the time of the Civil War in America, but this appearance was in France on February 2nd, 1858. And she appeared in basically the garbage dump, which is a theme. She appears to the poor and the downtrodden and to the suffering, to the enslaved. And there she appears to a young woman whose name is Bernadette. And after a series of interactions, Mother Mary is in this grotto, this cave, and she tells Bernadette, go over there and start digging. And she starts digging, and a spring emerges and flows and has been flowing 27,000 gallons a day since then. And millions and millions of people go there to bathe in the water, drink the water, and people feel Mary's presence there. They experience healings there. This is very intriguing, but also mysterious and beyond the rational dimension. Third appearance is more recent. This happened in the 20th century, right during the middle of World War I. And it happened in Fatima, Portugal, to a young woman and her friends. Her young woman's name was Lucia. Lucia encounters the angel, and then a little while later encounters Mother Mary. And this experience of Lucia and her friends is unique to other apparitions of Mother Mary in our recorded history, and that is that Lucia experienced Mary coming at midday, after a lightning bolt, and a globe of energy descended from the sky. In every instance this happened, the lightning and the globe of energy, and then the interaction with Mother Mary. Apparently no one else could see what these children saw, but they had significant interactions, and people were there and had healings while they were interacting with Mother Mary. Lots of people said they saw this happen and had these experiences. So whatever you make of these three primary appearances of Mother Mary on this planet, you might think of it as superstition, but you could also think of it as God devotion food, as indication of the soul song that needs to be sung on this planet. You know, in the 20th century, I know it's Memorial Day weekend, you know, and it's kind of a interesting holiday as we give thanks to all who serve and protect and all the nations of the world. It's kind of an interesting holiday for me because I just feel so strongly that war is such an insane thing that we do on this planet. Such an indication that we have much more evolution ahead of us as a species. But in the 20th century alone, there were like 160 million people killed in wars or genocide or Holocaust. 160 million people in just over 100 years. And so whatever you think of Memorial Day and those who have died for the various causes, good causes and horrible causes, our planet in modern times, you all know this. This is nothing new. Our planet has the capacity to wipe itself out. We have the capacity to wipe ourselves out. So if there were ever an era where we might need the song of beauty sung back into our souls and bodies, it's this era, and thus the apparitions of Mother Mary rising on this planet. And I'll just share and conclude with three kind of insights that came to me of how to apply this. Because my soul, I wish my soul to be healed by the song of Mary. I wish my being to be more and more integrated. I wish to become more and more surrendered to divine love and presence and wisdom on this planet. I wish to break recurrence. I wish to have victory over negative emotions. I wish to be awake to the highest quality of consciousness. I wish to vibrate with the energy of love and peace and joy. And so Mary is one of us. And that's the first thing that we can say, is that Mary is one of us. She's fully human. So is Jesus, fully human. But they were one of us, but they were more than us. And this connection to us is that she's for us, as is Jesus. They're for us. They're one of us, but more than us. And they point to what is possible for our evolution and development, and why we do our inner work, why we can grow and commit our lives to development, not just regression, and recurrence of all the things that ensnare humankind over and over again, generation after generation. How many memorial days have to pass before more awaken from the sleep of war and violence? And so to break free by way of development and wish and evolution, to become more of what Jesus and Mary embody. And what is it that they embody? And what is it in particular that Mary and these appearances teach us? The first, for me, is encouragement to God devotion. If there's anything I've gotten from Mary in my devotion or reverence for Mary and her icon, it has encouraged my God devotion, because when you come to Mary, she points you to God. Mary connects us to God. She wants us to know and love God more, and she wants us to feel God's love more. Mary is a mediator. So Mary encourages our God devotion, and studying Mary's apparitions and the people and the humility with which these people lived and the simplicity encourages God devotion. Some who had nothing were the most devout and loving and humble. Mary encourages God devotion in part because she knows the journey. She knows the complete spiritual journey. And this is very important, because we need teachers who have gone before us and know the way. And Mary is someone who can encourage our God devotion because she knows the journey completely, from birth to ascension. She knows the journey that Jesus revealed. She lived it with him. The most intimate partner with Jesus was Mary. She was there at his conception, and she was there at his ascension. She knows the journey. I don't. Mary does. I know little bits of it. Encouragement and God devotion. Second thing that Mary and the appearances and her icon do for me is that it gives me patience in suffering and difficulty. Sitting in front of Mary, pondering Mary, reading about Mary, holding my rosary, gives me patience that I don't normally have. It gives me access to patience because Mary and that feminine divine energy embody the ability simply to forbear and to bear and to bear. The word is, Mary is long-suffering. And if the divine feminine and the feminine on this planet doesn't represent anything, it represents long-suffering. The very physical experience, I don't know what it is like, but giving birth is an experience of bearing forth long-suffering. And so Mary has this capacity in particular to touch us with the grace of long-suffering and patience for the difficulties that we are experiencing. go to Mother Mary to help you endure something. That's I think, the witness of Mary's icon for me. She bears with the suffering of Jesus. She watches silently, and she shows us the way of patience, trusting God with the outcome. Let it be in me, according to your word. The whole shebang, whatever comes in my life, let it be in me. That's long-suffering. Because, you know, for many of us, we want to get things done and change the world and make sure everything's right according to our standards. But Mary represents that contemplative patience. All is well. All is well. Doing the very thing that needs to be done right now, not later, right now. That contemplative disposition of being, 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 not doing. There certainly is a balance in all of this, because I know a little joke, it goes something like this. Do you want to talk to the man in charge or the woman who knows what's going on? This is an old bad joke, but I was taught it at seminary. but the truth is that Mary knows, and she can teach us so much about how to get something done in a way that may be not rational, counterintuitive, by way of waiting and letting and simply being still. And then thirdly, Mary, in addition to encouraging God devotion and stimulating patience and suffering, she births joy in our family life. And by family life, I mean church life as well, because Mary is the mother of the church. And she, in her presence and her song that she sings of beauty, makes the church beautiful over and over and over again. Whatever happens in any one particular church, there is the church, the called out ones who have heard the word and responded. That's what the word church is in Greek, ekklesia, called out ones, people who have heard the song of the trumpet in their ear and awakened. To be the church isn't to be the entertained. To be the church isn't to be the socially righteous. To be the church isn't to be the church of fellowship and happy hour. To be the church isn't to be all the other wonderful offerings that many, many churches give. To be the church is to be to the called out ones. Called out to what? To the word of God, to the song of God, to the wisdom of God, the called out ones from sleep. And the church isn't just Christianity. The called out ones are all around this planet in every different religion. And so the church mother is Mary. She mothers all of us on this planet who hear that word of wisdom and wish to awaken and respond to it and be healed by it. And she heals our family lives as well. Someone once said that family trees are always trees of knowledge, and sometimes they are trees of life. Family trees are always trees of knowledge. They tell us a lot about our lives, our self, our formation. All the wounds that get passed on from generation to generation in family lines, from the sins of the father and on, sins of the mother on and on. Family trees carry that lineage down. And so they teach us a lot about ourselves. We look at our family and we see ourselves. We look at the church family and we see a lot about us. We see what kind of tree we are, this kind of tree. There are other kinds of trees out there, but CCH is this kind of tree. Family trees are always trees of knowledge, and they are oftentimes trees of life. Because the more you go into that family system with that light and that love, that tree becomes a source of life and healing. And so Mary is the mother of the church and the mother of the family. And you may never have had a mother or a bad mother. You may feel you failed as a mother or weren't a good mother. Whatever the case may be, you may be an exceptional mother. You may have had an exceptional mother. Whatever the case may be, Mary is the mother of the human family and of the church. And there's great knowledge in that to be gained and great life to be gained. So I trust this has been useful in some way to edifying you and your spiritual journeys. Mary is a transrational mystery. But she is a song that we can sing and be heard sung that conveys a vibration that makes us beautiful again. I'm going to close with the prayer that Steve Utz sent me this year in April. And I guess this prayer can be found in Valentin Tomberg's book, Christ and Sophia. Now, this prayer was given at Christmas 1940, several months before the Germans brutally invaded Holland in World War II. And again, this suffering people, long-suffering people, at Christmas prayed this. I invite you just to close your eyes if you wish and take this in with all of your centers. Our Mother, you who are in the darkness beyond us, may the holiness of your name shine a light on our remembering. May the breath of the awakening of your kingdom warm all homeless wanderers. May the resurrection of your will enliven eternal faith into the depths of matter. Receive today the living remembrance of you from human hearts, who pray you to forgive the sin of forgetting you, and are ready to fight against the temptations of the world that has led you to existence in this dark night, that through the deed of the Son, the immeasurable pain of the Father is stilled in the liberation of all beings from the misfortune of your withdrawal. For yours are the homeland, the generosity, and the mercy for all and everything in the song of all. Amen. You've heard what I've had to say. Let's take a moment in the silence. Feel what Mary might be singing into your soul. Hail Mary, full of grace. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, the church in this world. Help each of us to counter the forces of violence in our hearts and in our planet, and to wish again to be virginal in spirit and in kindness and patience and in joy. Heal our families that they would become flourishing trees once again. And heal the human family that we would play our part in being the new heavens and the new earth. In Christ we pray. Amen. We practice the gift of reciprocal maintenance, which means we give to the church that feeds us spiritually as the church feeds us spiritually. We take our tithes, gifts, and offerings and hold them in our hands or into our hearts or consciousness and remember the truth together, saying, God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. And so we dedicate all the tithes, gifts, and offerings and all the flow of energy into this church to the victory of consciously chosen love over the lies of separation and our useless acting out from fear. Amen.
She is the gentle curve of the hills beneath the sky. She is the cool, clear water of the streams. and every rock and every tree is her sacred shrine, and she watches over every living thing. And blessed are her tears, welling up and spilling over, and consecrate the land on which they of sorrow, tears of joy, tears of pain and laughter, tears of anger, tears of mercy, tears of love. She is the raging water of the creek after a storm, and the stillness of a dark and moonless night. She is the dance of insects and birds at dusk and dawn. She is the wind that holds the hawk in flight. And blessed blesses all who come to seek her. She touches every heart that loves the land. And as I go, I see that I'm not the one who came here. She has shown me what I truly blessed are our tears, welling up and spilling over. They consecrate the land on which they fall. Tears of sorrow, tears of joy, tears of pain and laughter, tears of anger, tears of mercy.
Let us now rest in the silence of centering prayer for 10 minutes and consent to God's love, presence, and action in our lives.
I invite you to take your caps off your cups at this time and just wait to put them back on until the song, the Amazing Grace song, just so that we can retain the silence in the room. Let us pray. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Amen. Pour out your spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and transform us into your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was handed over to death, Jesus took bread, and having broken it, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. This is the body of Christ." When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ for us all. Living in eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that transcends and yet pervades our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God, our Creator, for the glory of God's work here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand and conclude our worship with song. Thank each of you for your presence here in this room, for creating this service together. And for each of you, wherever you may be, in the cloud of the Church of Conscious Harmony, we send love and gratitude for your presence with us today. And the love of God, the grace and care of Mary and Jesus, the peace and presence of the Holy Spirit is with each of us and all people. Amen.